It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Kruman.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It is your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. Welcome.
Yeah, there they are.
They feel very welcome. Listen to them. Listen to that crowd, the thunderous ovation that is reserved only for the fantastic podcast lovingly known as Product Genius with the star, with the mom, with the lady who has been on business trips and traveled to space, survived a coup d'etat from Jody and I, and is still getting ready to give birth to a wonderful child and give birth to the help of your business. It's Tiffany Krumans.
Wow. That was the most
the greatest introduction I've ever done. Get me all riled up, three cups of coffee. Have Gifford come in the studio, start, you know, fussing at me, and I will deliver.
You did. You delivered.
Speaking of Gifford, Gifford Pace and Seth Gillen from FSI are here in the studio with us, and they are shining a spotlight on themselves.
Yes, they are.
Not quite sure physically how they do that, but I wanted to start the show with a fantastic opening because we're going to talk about a tough topic today.
And I missed you guys last month.
Yes, you did.
I have to say, I missed everybody.
We missed you.
Yes, we did.
Out of town, and you guys took over, and
We tried to
made me proud.
We tried to stay in control, and then you came back, and you're really the star of the show. Nobody cares about what we have to say; they want to hear what you have to say.
Wouldn't it be funny if we looked at stats and those were the better shows? That would suck.
I'm trying to decide what the funniest part of that statement was. If we actually look at stats, or if the stats proved out that theory, right?
Their stats.
Tiffany just gave me a little icy look there, like, how dare you bring up the fact
Stephen
that we
says
really...
that because I don't listen to my own show and critique it and do all the work I should do, but that's okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. You do all the work you should do and more. You work very hard. Okay. So I'm not saying that.
I just don't like listening to my own voice.
I am having a little bit of fun over the fact that you do such a great show and you never listen to it.
Yeah.
You're listening to all those other great podcasts who need to listen to our podcast.
I got stuff to learn.
Product Genius with Tiffany Krumans. Okay. So... today is FSI Spotlight, and we got a tough topic, right? Mm-hmm. And the tough topic is reality check of what's going on today.
Yep. With fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
and logistics.
So logistics, third-party logistics, and what the world is like in the middle of this. And I'm not going to use the word that everybody's using, just the fact that things are constantly changing and things and shortages abound.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, maybe that's the topic.
Well, my original idea. Abound. My original idea for the show was to have them come in and really tell, kind of pull back the curtain and show what it looks like to start the process of working with a fulfillment center and having a little more realistic view of that, because a lot of people, you know, get hopeful about it and then they might get a quote and go, whoa, you know, I didn't know it cost this much. So, but they, Seth was quick to tell us, you know, well, that's kind of changed even for us. You know, we've kind of had to shift a little bit with what's going on right now in the world. So,
we're going to try and do both. Okay. We do want to focus on what it's like to work with FSI and maybe the start of that process. And we were talking about that off air, but we cannot do this show that we're recording right here, right before the fourth quarter of 2021 without talking about what's going on in logistics and supply chain and delivery and all that stuff in 2021. But in order to do that, we need to bring our geniuses to the table. So that means it is time to welcome into the studio Seth Gillen and Gifford Pace from Fulfillment Strategies International, FSI3PL.com. Gentlemen, welcome back to the table.
Thank you for having us back. Great to be here.
Thank you very much. I didn't hear the applause, though, so that's kind of...
Well, they don't applaud for you. They don't applaud for me.
Normally.
They applaud to get me to stop talking and introduce Tiffany so we can get on with the show. Okay. Right. Let's just get all that clear.
Okay, all right.
Is the air clear now?
I'm better.
Okay,
I'm better.
We're all good. It is rare to have both of you in the studio at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, and by rare meaning I don't like it, but you're here, so let's make the most of it.
Some people at the warehouse think they're like they're the same person because we're never there at the same time, and they're like, "Is your brother here?"
Giffith,
your brother. They kind of
combine your names into one person.
Sefford.
I like that. Sefford. So what we want to do is we do want to kind of we're going to kind of do two conversations, because we, when we were preparing the show, we talked about, hey, you know, what sets FSI apart? What is it like to start working with FSI? So let's start with that. Let's kind of start with the overview. I'll encourage our listeners to hang on, because we do want to get to the second part of the conversation where we really kind of dig into what's going on. And as a product-based business, what do you need to know that's happening when it comes to logistics and fulfillment of getting your products into the hands of your consumers or businesses? So before we get to the bad news or dealing with the tough stuff, let's deal with the good stuff. So Fulfillment Strategies International, you guys have been a partner on this show for a long time. A lot of people have heard about what you do. So I'm not going to say, hey, give us the little quick 30 seconds. Go back and listen to another show, because they do a great job of talking about that. It's third-party logistics. But what if someone isn't yet working with a third-party logistics company? Help them get ready for that process of talking to third-party logistics. What questions do they need to be asking? What do they need to be doing in their due diligence and research?
I would say the most important thing is they need to understand their business 100%. They need to know all their SKUs. They need to have item numbers listed for every one of those. They need to have descriptions, accurate inventory quantities, everything that you would think they would have a handle on. A lot of people mm-hmm. don't sometimes.
And they expect you to do that, and sure, that's not your job.
And we will. Yeah. It's just,
it's going to cost them money and time.
Prepare themselves to be ready for that moving process.
Okay.
Much better than I think some others have been in the past.
So if they spend the time to learn their SKUs, do the description, that'll save them a lot of time, a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Because there's no reason to pay you if they'll just
It streamlines our efforts.
Okay.
During that whole transitional process.
Well, I mean, have they even really considered the fact that they are truly trying to grow?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you some know, people, some, they've got
some,
a good
some
thing.
People are like, they're, man, I'm nailing it, you know, and they don't need to grow, or they don't want to grow, or they're, but you have to ask themselves, it's like, okay, is fulfillment an issue for me?
Okay.
You know, and if the answer is it could be.
If I grow, what happens if
I'm spending time putting, you know, boxes together and packing things, you know, is that really why I got in the business?
Right.
Okay. And if they say, nope, I love packing boxes, you know, more power to them.
We've always joked a little about the picture of somebody, you know, using their bonus room, using their basement, using their garage. And that's always been, that's been one of the little running jokes we've had from the beginning. Can you put a number on it? If someone's got a product-based business, what are some of the numbers that if you're using out of your bonus room and you're moving this many pieces or this much revenue of product, you might want to, third-party logistics might be able to help you. Is it a number, or is that not fair?
Well, it's based on the client. It's really based on the products and those things. So a lot of it really is based on the characteristics of the order itself.
Okay.
So how many pieces, how many SKUs within an order? Yeah, in the different channels they're selling through. But yeah, I mean, we do have some. We'll help analyze that. We'll help guide them and steer them and say, okay, this is the right time to come to a fulfillment center.
So that needs to be part of a conversation, absolutely. Not just
yeah.
One
that's part
number.
Of the general questions, okay. And understanding and getting to know.
Because you guys have always painted the picture of they're exasperated. They're, oh man, I want my room back, or I want my time back. So maybe it's a question of, if you're spending half your day filling your orders out of your bonus room, you might be saying, that's not why I got into this.
Sure.
Yeah, or the fact that their current 3PL is not really doing the job.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, in terms of, you know, there are certain, you know, kind of metrics that 3PLs go by. You know, do I
as a product based business, do I need to know what those metrics are? Should I have a general idea about them?
You'll understand that. I mean, it's like, are the orders going out on time? Are they correct? Am I feeling the love? Right. You know, from so, them is, am I good customer service? Is it easy to get in contact with? What's happening?
Sadly, you know, a lot of people learn that the hard way, right. You know, like I did, where you go to two or three fulfillment centers and you go, this can't be right. Like,
retail or tell one of your worst stories of not having the feels. I'm going to use Gifford's
word. I don't
word.
Know why I had one out in Vegas at some point. I've always been here in Georgia.
Oh, I know why you had one out of Vegas.
No, I absolutely hate Vegas. Actually, I'm going to get some hate back for that, but it's like, if I could blow up a town, that would
Holy cow. Ladies and gentlemen, the views expressed by the star of the show are not shared by the co-host
nor the sponsors.
The partners.
It's not my cup of tea, okay? But
Could tell by the fact that you said you would blow the town up.
What are you talking about? In case anybody did it.
Wait a minute. She is with child, so
I'll use that as an excuse for my anger today.
So, ignoring the fact that this place was in Vegas, let's reset it. How did you know you were in a bad... I had a lot of issues with accuracy.
Yeah.
So, the
whole point of having this company was to save me from the chargebacks and the things that were happening with these bigger retailers. And they were still happening with this company, which was like, okay, you know, I'm paying all this money. The whole point is it's not improving at all.
In fact, maybe even getting worse depending on the month.
Right. And then I moved to a local one that was fantastic. They were great people, but they were too small. And so it's kind of about finding that like sweet spot, you know, somebody who does it well. I mean, that's what we found in FSI is that
when you say a third party logistics was too small, how many? Okay. So you had one unit, one SKU. How many units were you moving in a month
it wasn't even about how many units. It was that they weren't, you know, like all the software, for example, that FSI has in place, they are up to, the standards that these retailers expect. This small company was more just, you know, small potatoes up the street.
Yeah.
Great people, definitely would do their best to get it out the door on time, but didn't have the software needed to communicate once that started.
Okay. Cool. All right. I want to turn the topic, but I don't want to leave this because this is the good part of the show for now, or the happy part of the show. What am I missing that a product-based business who's looking to either look at a different 3PL or their first 3PL, what am I not asking?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. There's several different questions that, you know, kind of go over various topics, like what you're shipping, what is your inventory, what's the communication process with the customer services, you know, what's the integration aspect of it. I mean, those are all components of having a solid 3PL behind you to do your orders
and
to manage your inventory.
And where you guys start is you want to ask them those questions to find out where they're at. What are you doing? What's your customer service? What's your issue?
Where's the current issues that they're involved with? As well as, you know, that's kind of your current needs, but what are your future needs? Because the flexibility and the ability to grow as they grow is really a key thing.
And that's where it comes back because to do you want to grow.
Yeah, because you know, Tiffany just said it. It was one of those things where it was like, they were great, but they were too small.
Yep.
And they didn't have the capacity, which, you know, we do,
right,
to help clients grow right now.
So, and that matters more than ever now. With all the requirements from these retailers, it really does. I mean, some of them won't even
talk over her.
Some of them won't even, you know, take you on unless they know you have a fulfillment center that has this type of software in place to get the orders to them.
Especially right now. So Tiffany just led us into the pivot, if I can use that overused word from the last 18 months, it is hot in here, Tiffany. It's always hot in here. No, it's probably partially that, but. That's my weight. It's always hot in here. I always sweat in this show. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen who are listening. I apologize that you had to hear that backstage. I had a perfect pivot. Then I saw Tiffany fanning herself and I decided to jump on it. Okay. So let's talk about current state of third-party logistics. Much like my segue, it's a little disjointed and it's longer than it needs to be. Was that good? Thank you, Seth.
I was mesmerized.
Seth is my friend because he laughs at my horrible jokes. Okay.
I was speechless.
That's what else is new. So currently in the, this show is, it's holding together by a thread. Jody's going to have to produce the crap out of this show. All right. So reset. We're talking with Seth Gillen and Gifford Pace from Fulfillment Strategies International. Go to their website, FSI3PL.com. Learn more about what they do. What they do is logistics. And right now, logistics for a product-based business is the topic of discussion because of how crazy everything is. So we all know all this stuff about COVID from the last 18 months, but one of the byproducts of shutting down entire economies, most of the economy, parts of the economy, yada, 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 creation of products was interrupted, and now logistics of building and delivering and creating and all this stuff around logistics have all been affected.
Yeah, it's all e-commerce. Everything has moved to e-commerce.
Okay, so
it's not that it wasn't always there. There's a huge surge in e-commerce now.
So whereas a business said, oh, e-commerce made up about 15% of our sales in the last year and a half, now that's become 85% of our sales.
Why possibly so?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so because of that, UPS, FedEx, USPS, Amazon, all those delivery services, their public statements have been, yeah, we're all good. And you can't badmouth the people you work with, but I'll say it's taking a lot longer to get things where they need to get to.
There's some major concerns out there.
Okay.
And we're acutely aware of that. It's just, it's not being voiced as probably as well as it should, or, well, I don't say it's not being voiced. It's being hidden necessarily. It's just not being talked about at all.
Because so if you don't acknowledge there's a problem,
then
you can,
no problem.
You can have that problem last longer until you can get to the problem.
Sure.
You know what? Let's change the chessboard just a little bit. I have a very good friend who's a CPA. I refer a lot of my clients as an individual or as an independent financial advisor. She has said publicly in groups and networks that we work together that with the slowdown of COVID, it happened right at tax time and they delayed the tax deadline. Everybody sending in returns. The joke was, and the reality was, there were tractor trailers full of returns that had been mailed in or that had been sent in. And she said, you know, the email equivalent of posting, there were data drives full of returns that, you know, they started processing, but they were so far behind because their staff had been cut and their staff wasn't there and it took forever. And so she said, it's going to take them a year to dig out of this. Take that and now put it in logistics, put it in shipping. So talk to the product-based business owner. Is it just suck it up and deal with it? Is there any advice you can give? Can we give them a dose of reality of what their life is like right now?
We should really take it back a step to the product, the company, you know, the actual product development. I'm in the process of launching a new probiotic and they have 90% of what they need to launch this probiotic I've been working on for a year. But that last 10% is stuck in the supply chain, meaning we cannot get it. So it normally would have been maybe a 30 day wait is now going to be 4 months. And so if I'm behind, but then I get an order and FSI is shipping my product, then all of a sudden I get the product in. It's almost like I want them to move, you know, three times as fast because of all those months I lost, and they can't.
Yeah.
And so it's basically, that's what's happening to everybody. When they finally get their product, which is already taking forever, then they've got to try to catch up with.
Yeah, we're dealing with the same issues. I mean, it's the same issues that your manufacturer's having are being placed on us as well. Mm-hmm. Staffing, equipment,
boxes,
capacity, everything. That whole process is slower than it was in the past. And there's more volume now. There's more intensity, more, you know, need to react faster. And it's very hard to do so.
And in today's world, we want to dumb it down. That's not the right word. We want to boil it down to one thing, one part of it. Oh, it's because people don't want to go back to work. There's 25 different factors.
Yeah.
I'm actually very glad it's happening. I know it sounds crazy, but
wow.
I think it's going to change people's perspective of this. Yeah. Whereas Amazon, so basically it wasn't that way. Then Amazon came along and it was, I want it yesterday. I want it on my doorstep this afternoon. Right. And everybody expected that. Mm-hmm. And now we've been pushed back in the other direction of, you might actually have to wait for something and actually appreciate it when it arrives, you know?
And you think that's good?
I do think that's good. I think that's good for people as a whole.
So if I can quote someone else who probably doesn't even know our podcast exists, you know, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs and Somebody's Got to Do It. And by the way, he's got a great podcast the way I heard it, but he talks about people understanding how things work, people understanding, you know, and he talks about, you know, if we're going to eat meat, I want people to see what that process is. So
for the first time, everybody is faced with this now.
For you guys in logistics, it's like, we don't just wave a magic wand. There's no Star Trek transporter that I can get it. You know, we're working on it, but it's still a couple years away, right?
Whereas before, if one company did that, it would be, oh, what's wrong with this company? They haven't shipped on time. Now it's everybody. They can't be mad at anybody because only the big guys are really still, even Sprite. Okay, I went to get a Sprite the other day for Bubbles, and their little bottle is not green anymore. It was like a off color. And I knew the second I saw it, it was not a branding choice, that they didn't have access to green.
They didn't have a choice, yeah.
Wait.
For this smaller bottle. They had all the big ones.
And you wanted it for the Bubbles. That's a pregnancy?
Well, yeah. Okay. I don't drink.
I did want to acknowledge
I'm not a soda drinker, but I needed the Bubbles. I don't
Sprite is awesome. Listen, I get it. Yeah. Sprite is a very refreshing
little bottle because that's all I wanted was just a few sips. And I knew right away that that's why that was that color. You know, it was because they're missing it.
Okay, so what's the... So Tiffany says the thing is, hey, let's learn to see the positive in that, or let's learn how logistics works, and maybe we just recognize how amazing it is, the job you guys do. What advice would you guys give? What would you say to the product-based business owner?
Well, yeah, I would say definitely. We need patience now. I mean, it's not necessarily a problem that we're having getting packages out the door. I'm not saying that it couldn't be that. But what we're seeing right now is a lack of capacity with carriers, a lack of equipment, a lack of staffing. All of those combined together obviously equal delays, and that's on the portion of the business that we deal with directly, and that is getting the package to the end consumer.
Yeah, I mean, and for instance, I mean, they've got containers that are in Savannah.
Right.
You know, and they can't get them unloaded.
Right.
So if there's the dock workers aren't there, you know, the crane operators aren't there, the container stays off, you know, off port, then that means that container's not coming to us and we can't fill it. So, I mean, Seth's point about patience is right there in terms of everybody's, you know, working as hard as they can because they realize, you know, the deficiency in what's happening.
Right.
And it's just a matter of going, okay, let's figure out what we can do. Let's get it done as fast as we can.
Okay, so let's talk about the UPS, the FedEx, the USPS, the Amazon. So let's talk about all those delivery services. Once it leaves FSI's facility and you guys are responsible for overseeing the delivery of the package, but you're not actually the people driving the truck, I guess what I want to ask, I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. Is it just that all these carriers are doing the best they can with the resources they have? There's nothing nefarious going on here.
No, there's not. But we're seeing more and more delays.
Right.
Unexpected delays that where the carrier picks the package up from us. For example, I'll use what we looked at right before we started the show. An email came in earlier. What happened to this package? We tendered it to the carrier the day we produced the label. It left our facility. The carrier for 10 days held that package and didn't scan it. And then all of a sudden yesterday it was scanned. So, after they claimed they didn't have it.
Right.
So they're not really accepting ownership right now of some of the delays that they're causing.
So in the past, as soon as it left by the end of that day or within 24 hours, the client, you would have been able for the client to go, look, it got scanned here and it's at this hub. So what the carriers have kind of universally, unofficially agreed upon exactly. Is if there's a period of time where it's not in our system, we can deny and go,
it's a loophole.
We don't have it.
Yeah.
And they'll have it when it's on the grid to be delivered.
It's on the trailer, essentially sitting, waiting to be processed.
Right.
They have not scanned it yet. And it may sit on their yard for 10 days in this case.
Much like those tax documents sitting, you know, I haven't gotten my tax return. And by the way, anybody who's listening who's going, well, I got my tax return done. That's because yours is a checkbox and they're systematically working through it.
And it was electronic.
Right, exactly. So,
And I want to say that the carriers are doing a great job. I mean, they really are. I don't want to sit here and point them out. It's not like it's happening to the majority of the packages that are leaving our facility, but it is happening and they are not acknowledging it at the same time. And that's frustrating for us, and that's frustrating obviously for our clients.
And again, it's not nefarious. It's probably just a random, I mean, they know what they can do. Yeah. And so just the reality of it is this becomes we'll deal with that when we can deal with it.
Yeah, there's always a constraint.
Right.
You know, like, oh, we don't have enough trucks, or we've got the trucks that we do are on the other end of the county, or whatever you're saying, I mean, in terms of that. So there are definitely constraints in play.
And I don't want to turn us all into pontificators about the overall economy, and we certainly don't want to deal with the political side of things on this podcast, but this is a microcosm of, I mean, everybody, and I use the IRS example. We've got other examples. You know, go try to pick up a meal and you realize that the drive-thru is not moving. First of all, the dining room's closed. Secondly, probably that, you know, and in the past we go, oh, it's just terrible service. Might mm-hmm. be that there's two people in the kitchen exactly. and one person working the register because that's all that showed up for work.
And right. that's what I mean by it's good, because it's yeah. teaching everybody to calm down, slow down, and appreciate what you can get access to.
So Jerry Seinfeld.
So be kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So that's a piece of advice for all of us, including product-based business owners. Be kind and recognize that. So Seinfeld used to have this old bit. It's I think it's from less than 10 years ago, but he would talk about Amazon. And when Amazon first introduced one click, and he would go, do you realize we've become so impatient as yep. a people that it's like, if you want two clicks, I don't even want it anymore. Yep, exactly. I just want a one click and I want it, you know? And so it's become this, you know, give it to me now, mm-hmm. you know? So maybe we had become too much like Veruca Salt.
Yes.
And maybe we need to be a little more like Charlie and just, you know,
that's right.
appreciate what we have. Okay. So let's all hold hands. We're going to sing Kumbaya, toast a s'more, and we're going to get out of here. So,
There's s'mores.
See, there's yeah, they're in the back of okay. Atlanta Tech Park, a okay. wonderful place to collab and co-work. Would you agree?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, absolutely. Atlanta Tech Park located here in North Carolina. Good segue.
Thank you.
Way to give out to the other partner.
I'll be here all day.
Where we broadcast. No, you won't. You'll okay. be leaving
I'll
after
be leaving
this
in
show.
A couple minutes.
You and Seth are going to lunch, I think. Okay. I had a great point, and then I derailed the show myself. I apologize. I'm pregnant, or at least I look 5 months pregnant. So what other topics? I feel like now I'm just doing a horrible hosting job of going, what else do you want to talk about? Anything else? Any other points? How long is this going to last?
That's what it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
That is this exactly where I would have
been.
Or
the issue.
Oh, my Lord.
Improvements are being made. I can give Lord. Specific examples of carriers.
Can that you give
are,
one?
For example, we employ we partner with DHL e-commerce. It's a domestic-based residential delivery service. They are improving their facilities. They're opening new facilities, which obviously gives more capacity. They're enhancing their network. Those are the types of steps that we're seeing across all of the industry right now.
Okay,
you're seeing it with fulfillment companies. I mean, you're seeing, you know, we opened a new facility. Our timing just happened to be right at the beginning of the pandemic. Had we not done that, guess what we'd be doing right now? Looking for a new facility. So, I mean, yeah. everybody's having to do that. You see Amazon facilities popping up left and right. Walmart, we talked about this earlier. You're going to see a change in the model. You're going to see companies like Walmart that are competing against Amazon. They may open that channel up to, you know, as another trade partner, or we call them trading partners, as another avenue to sell your goods in. Well, you'll sell directly through their stores.
Yeah.
And they have these robotic kiosks now. When you walk into the store, you purchase online. You don't have to worry about a carrier at this point. You purchase the product you want online. You go to the store and you pick it up out of the machine.
And
they're waiting on you.
And this is not necessarily, this doesn't necessarily have to do with third party logistics, other than you would help the product based businesses put their products in these stores. But when everybody was saying, oh, retail's dead, retail's dead, retail's dead.
They're reinventing themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't just ignore brick and mortar stores. And there is a portion of the population that wants to see it, touch it, feel it before they buy it. There's a portion of the population that would very much appreciate, oh, I can order it and it'll be in the store within 24 hours. And all I got to, oh, I can do that on the way to work. Yep. So that's better than, what do you mean it's sitting at the hub? What do you mean? We order something and you know, when are we going to see it? And the one thing that all of this last year and a half has shown me is how quickly things can change. And I don't want to say drastically, because while we had some drastic things momentarily, the reality is we are looking at a different logistics delivery world than what we had before the pandemic.
Sure we are.
Oh, yeah. Way different.
And Tiffany's point, and I think Tiffany's point is it's making us aware of it. It's making us aware of what it actually takes to do what you guys do.
Making all the lay people aware, you know, people who don't typically work in this industry. And I didn't either. You know, I'm learning it as well.
So I'm going to ask you the tough question. One of the things we've enjoyed on this show is, you know, the 99 point whatever percent you guys always like to, you know,
99.95.
There you go. I like that. Now, if the stuff gets, and that's getting it to the, to it, where it needs to go.
Well, that's an accuracy ratio or a percentage that is measured across 13 different KPIs.
Okay.
So yeah, that could be any type of error, picked wrong item, picked too many, shorted something.
But what we're dealing with when it goes out your dock and it's in the carrier's hands, there's only so much you can do.
Yes, we don't. Yeah, we don't drive the trucks like you said.
So when it hasn't been scanned for 10 days, that's not on you guys. Although when you have the relationship with the client, they're like, "Hey, where's my stuff?"
Sure.
I wish I knew. I can send another
email. And that's where the customer service comes into play. Right. Where it's having the conversation with like, "Where's my stuff?" And we're happy to go back and try to do that research and say, "Okay, well, it was scanned here. We sent it out. Now let's check with our carriers."
Yeah, because we have internal scans that we do. We even have video footage. We can sometimes have to go all the way back to pull an image to say, "Hey, this is your package leaving our facility."
Yeah.
And being put onto the UPS truck or the FedEx truck or the DHL e-commerce truck.
And depending on the third-party logistics company you work with, that might not be always possible, or they may not want to go through that process to show you and say, "Go pound sand," or, you know, so at least you're willing to have a conversation and develop that relationship. Sometimes in a relationship, the client might go, "Well, I don't like your answer," or "That's not good enough," or "Why?"
We may not like our own answer.
Sometimes we don't like our answer.
So that is that 0.03 or 0.05. There's that, yeah. But at least you're not going to blame your predecessor. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That was too easy. Okay. So here we go at the end of the show. Tiffany, you wanted to do a show where we kind of talked about what it's like to work with FSI as a product-based business owner yourself. What is the experience like when you're working with a logistics company like an FSI who's a genius about it and they do it, you know, how does it make you feel?
Well, the experience of working with someone like FSI means you can sit back and know that that part of your business is taken care of. That's the whole point. But I think we missed one thing that Seth said before the show, and that was, you know, what's going to happen if someone approaches a company like yours at this part of the season? You remember you were talking about
just about fourth quarter 2021. Someone listens to this right away and goes, "I got to call them. I need to change my third party logistics." What's your advice today?
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up as well, because I mean, really, the way the climate is in e-commerce, the way capacity exists or a shortage of capacity, now's not necessarily the best time to be planning that transition, at least not to implement a transition in the fourth quarter. Obviously, that's peak season. This is probably going to be the toughest peak season for all carriers, for all fulfillment companies, for, you know, depending on what this new model of the pandemic rolls out. I mean, it's not going away. I mean, we'll never be COVID zero ever again, I don't think. There'll always be something going on with it. So I hesitate to bring anybody into a transition process during a peak season.
For once he's saying, "Don't call us."
Definitely call us.
But let us work through a better plan. Let us put a better timeline in place to possibly make that transition in the first quarter.
And be realistic. Don't think that your product's going to get to FSI and get shipped in time for Christmas now. We just started September.
Yeah, if you're dealing with negligence with your third-party logistics, you need to get out as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
If you're managing in the midst of this craziness, don't think that changing to FSI all of a sudden there isn't going to be carrier problems.
Yeah.
That's across the board. That's not your logistics company's fault.
Yeah, and if you just – say you've just inked a new deal with – Bed Bath & Beyond,
right,
or CVS,
yep.
You know you're not going to be able to manage that. You're not going to be able to live up to your end of the deal. Then absolutely reach out to us. We're here to help.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that by any means.
And you're saying it's always time. There's always a good time to have a conversation, even in the midst of this craziness. What you're saying is this is not the time to be making changes just to be making changes.
Exactly.
Because because the logistics and carriers were all trying to still kind of figure out how to navigate this the best we can. Fair enough?
Very fair.
Yeah. I like that. Very good. Okay. So for those people who do want to call and have a conversation or send an email, what should they do?
You can reach us at fsi3pl.com. You can also call us 678-391-5980. I was about to give you my direct. You can ask for myself. You can ask for Gifford.
Okay.
My email is SethG at FSI3PL, and Gifford's is GiffordP at FSI3PL.com.
Well done.
Gifford,
anything you want to add?
No.
I wasn't going to let you anyway.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Because you looked at Seth like, come on, bring it. You wrap it up. So.
Don't ask me, because I threw it back to Seth when you asked me the last question, right?
So how do you want to wrap up the show? What's your website?
I think with what Gifford said, actually, that we should be kind and a little more aware of our surroundings.
True. That was the best line of the show, Gifford.
Thank you.
We need to be kind. And I wasn't kind to you.
We didn't think he was going to get the best line of the show award when he walked in.
I apologize if I've been unkind.
But for me,
yeah.
You know, take a look at your business. Take a look at your sales cycles, you know, for your products going out. What are you doing? Bring those questions to us. Ask and have a conversation to say, what are you doing? Because we want to know about your marketing plans. We want to know what your growth plans are. We want to know what your current issues are. And we can talk through that because that's really what it's about. It's about a relationship. It's about developing a trusted partner. And then seeing what's best for them.
So what's the phone number again?
678-391-5980.
And go to the website, fsi3pl.com. Hey, guess what? There's another website. You can go to tiffanycrewmans.com. That's Crewmans with a K. You can find past episodes of our podcast. You can also get a course about launching your own product-based business. If you've been listening to this and going, man, I don't think I want to do a product-based business with all that logistics crap. Well, that's why we have geniuses around the table to help you with it. And Tiffany will help you think about truly launching your business. There's also another website you can go to, jodysmith.com. If you've been listening to this and go, I can do a better podcast than that idiot Steven, well, then you can go to jodysmith.com and he can help you launch your own podcast, because Jody's our producer. And you know what he does? He helps people podcast.
And he brings us waters.
That's right. And if you need an independent financial advisor, I'm not allowed by compliance to legitimately talk to you about that on air, but you can search my name, Stephen Julian Financial Advisor, and learn more about me. I'm an independent financial advisor. Okay, I think I've shilled for enough people. Time to wrap up the show. We'll catch you next time on Product